A number of years ago, in the Akron Beaker Journal, there was an article entitled, "Champ Still Fighting." And it read like this: "At age 55, Muhammad Ali is still called the champ. He may have been slowed down by Parkinson's disease, but he still has a powerful punch with the media. And now he has taken on a new opponent: religious bigotry and intolerance. On the media side, When We Were Kings, the award-winning documentary about the 1974 fight with George Foreman in Zaire, opened to critical acclaim in February. Now, Ali and co-author Thomas Hauser are touring the country promoting their new book, Healing, A Journal of Tolerance and Understanding. On the bigotry side, Ali finds himself sparring with a handful of Christian fundamentalists who have criticized his new book for its view that people of all religions will go to heaven. My mother was a Baptist," Ali writes in one passage. "She believes Jesus was the Son of God. I don't believe that. But even though my mother has a religion different from me, I believe that on Judgment Day, my mother will be in heaven. There are Jewish people who live good lives, and when they die, I believe they're going to heaven. If you're a good Muslim, if you're a good Christian, if you're a good Jew, it doesn't matter what religion you are. If you're a good person, you will receive God's blessings." End of quote. Muhammad Ali says, "Just be a good Jew. Just be a good Muslim. Just be a good Buddhist. Just be a good Hindu. Or even a Christian. And you will be blessed of God and go to heaven." Is he right? Take your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at just two verses this morning, verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 7. In some Bibles, you will see these words in red because they are words of Jesus Christ. These are words that come right out of a sermon of Christ. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And they are the subject of these verses is how to get to heaven. How to get to heaven. You know, they used to call, they used to call Muhammad Ali the king. But actually, I think it was Muhammad Ali that called himself the king. So the king said, "You can be of any religion." Now I want to know what the King of Kings says. Amen. Jesus. Because you know what? What Jesus says trumps everybody. Trumps you, trumps me, trumps everybody. What he says is true. And what he says in these verses is this: "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who will enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Now in these verses, he makes four pairs. He has four pairs of things that as we look at them this morning, we're going to see very clearly what the King of Kings says about getting to heaven. The first pair is this: there are two gates. Two gates. There's, first of all, there's the wide gate. The wide gate. This gate is wide. It makes room for almost all people. All people. This is a wide gate. There's room at this gate for any belief. You can believe in anyone. You can believe in no one. You can believe in yourself and get in this gate. You can believe in a personal God, or you can believe in a God who is a cosmic force. Doesn't matter. You know what they say? My God's just as good as your God. That's what they say at this gate. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can be Jewish, you can be Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu. This is the gate that Muhammad Ali was talking about. It doesn't matter what religion you are. Just be a good person. You can even be Christian. Muhammad would say, Muhammad Ali. You can even be a Christian and get in at this gate. You can just be about anything you want to be. Some even believe that everybody gets in at this gate. I think theologians call them universalists, that say everybody's going to get to heaven. There is a man out who wrote a book today called Love Wins, Rob Bell. He says there's no such thing as hell. Love wins. Everybody's going to go to heaven. That's this gate. And you know what the major characteristic of this gate is? It's wide. It's a wide gate. It's a wide gate. It accepts anyone. But then there's the narrow gate. The narrow gate. The King James Version, I think it calls it the straight gate. But it's not straight, is it? It's straight. That means narrow. That means the narrow gate. It's a straight gate. It's narrow. And I want you to note, there's just one of these narrow gates. It doesn't say, enter through the narrow gates. It says the narrow gate. There's only one gate. And you enter by the narrow gate. There's only one gate. Listen to me. There's only one gate that leads to heaven. You might not hear this in other churches, but I'm going to tell you, there's only one gate that leads to heaven. There's only one door. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. There's only one way. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way. Jesus himself declared it, didn't he? Over in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now I'll tell you what, if you're a Christian, you believe that. Because Jesus said it. Jesus declared it. He says there's only one way to get to heaven, and it's through me. I am the gate. He is the narrow gate. He's the door. You've got to go through Jesus. He declared it. The Father disclosed it in the garden, didn't he? When Jesus prayed to the Father and said, God, is there any other way? I mean, if there's any other way, remove this cup from me, God. Father, remove this cup. And God said, you know what, son? There's no other way. If we're going to redeem these people, you've got to go to the cross. That's the only way. That's the only way. The Father disclosed it in the garden. Jesus declared it. The Father disclosed it. Grace demands it. Over in Galatians 2:21, Paul says, listen, people, I will not nullify the grace of God. Because if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly on the cross. If you can get right with God in any way, if it's through the law, if it's through the eightfold path of Buddhism, if it's through the five pillars of Islam, any other way, then the cross is a mistake. The cross is a sham. And we nullify the grace of God. If there was any other, if I could work my way to heaven, if I could be good enough to get to heaven, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But he did. He died on the cross because there's no other way. And salvation is by grace. It's not by human effort. That's why God sent his son. If we could have done it, if we could have made it up to God by our works, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Jesus declared it. The Father disclosed it. Grace demands it, and Scripture delineates it, doesn't it? Over in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, how much clearer can you get? Amen? There's only one gate, and Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the gate. The straight gate, the narrow gate. Now, there's a wide gate. Anybody gets in that gate. But there's a narrow gate, and that's Jesus. You're going to get to heaven, you got to go through the narrow gate. You say, Pastor, that's awful narrow. Yeah, you're right. It is. That's what he calls a narrow gate. Truth is always narrow, isn't it? 2 + 2 = 4. It's not 4 + 1 or 4.1 or 3.9. It's 4. And you know what? If you're going to get to heaven, you got to go through the narrow gate. You can take it from the King of Kings. He said, enter through the narrow gate. So the question is, have you entered the narrow gate? Have you entered the narrow gate? There's the broad gate, and there's the narrow gate, the wide gate and the narrow gate. Then there are two ways. Or two roads. There's first of all the broad way. There's the broad way. You see, the wide gate leads to the broad way or to the broad road. Now this road, let me just give you some description. This is the easy road. This is the popular way. It's comfortable on this road. Because no one questions you on this road. It's spacious. It's accommodating. On this road, you can basically do what you want to do. You can have what you want to have. You can be what you want to be. You can do your own thing, and you can feel good about it because you know what? No one's going to question you on this road. No one's going to confront you. They'll accept you. You know what the mantra on this road is? Tolerance. Tolerance. This road is broad. It's broad. It's broad theologically. See, on this road, you can believe what you want to believe. And everyone is to be tolerant of your belief. Not meaning respecting of your right to believe what you want to believe. That's old tolerance. Amen. This is new tolerance. And the new tolerance says everyone's got to accept what you believe and actually acknowledge that your belief is just as good as my belief, is just as good as Joe's belief, is just as good as Sally's belief. And not only do I have to accept that, but then I have to celebrate your belief. That's the new tolerance. That's what you find on this road. And if you don't accept it, you know what you are? You're an intolerant bigot. That's what they'll call you.
That's me.
Erwin Lutzer, in his book, Christ Among the Other Gods, states this: there has been an ideological mega shift in our country. We are to bow to the God of tolerance, meaning not that everyone has the right to their own opinion, that is true, but meaning that we are to accept everyone's opinion as just as valid as any other opinion. Folks, that's how it is on the broad road. You see, you know what they say? Folks, we all worship the same God. It's you just worship him by a different name. You Christians call him Jehovah or Jesus. The Buddhists call him Buddha. The Muslims call him Allah or Muhammad. It's the same God, just different name. That's what they teach on the broad road. In fact, I didn't know Northwest Avenue was the broad road. Did you know that? Because I passed a church sign down there that says, One God, East and West. Did you see it? Drive down there after church. One God, East and West. That's the broad road. I didn't know that. That's what they teach on the broad road. One God, East, West, doesn't matter. Theologically, it's broad. Spiritually and religiously, it's a broad road. I mean, again, you can be any religion on the broad road or no religion. On this road, you can go to church or you don't have to go to church. On this road, people often say, you know what? I can worship God out on the golf course. I can worship God, you know, where I really find worship of God is out in nature. I just go to the park and I worship God. That's what they say, you know. You know what? They say that on the broad road. It's broad, spiritually or religiously. Many people today, you talk to them, you know what they'll say? I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. They do. They say that. I talked to a girl up at the mall and I asked her if she was a Christian. She fooled me because I thought she was. I said, are you a Christian? I've done that a lot of times, and I've hit it. I said, are you a Christian? She looked at me. Her countenance changed. She said, I'm not a Christian. I'm a spiritual person. But that's the broad road. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. That's all on the broad road, because it's broad theologically, it's broad spiritually and religiously, and you know what? It's broad morally and ethically. Again, there's no absolutes on the broad road. No absolutes. You can practice traditional marriage, or you can practice gay marriage. You can be heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, asexual, or transgender. Doesn't matter. It's all accepted on the broad road. You can get married and live with your wife, and or you can choose to live with your partner, your significant other. Because you know what they say on the broad road? What's a piece of paper? What's a piece of paper? It's a broad road. I'll tell you, a lot of people going down that road. It's broad. Some other phrases you hear on the broad road. If it feels good, do it. If it works for you, that's fine. Live and let live. To each his own, said the farmer as he kissed his cow. You hear that on the broad road. You hear that kind of stuff on the broad road. Because ethically, morally, everything's accepted. You can do your own thing on the broad road and you don't have to feel guilty because everybody else is doing their own thing. The number one characteristic of the broad road, it's broad. It's broad. Theologically, religiously, spiritually, morally, ethically, it's broad. But then there's the narrow road, the narrow way. The narrow gate leads to the narrow way. If you are saved and you're here today, you're on the narrow way. You're on the narrow way. There's right and wrong on this way. There's right and wrong. There are moral absolutes. There are absolute truths on this road. And the absolute truths are found in this book. And there are absolute truths. And we don't make up our own truth on this road. We follow the truth of God's word, God's holy scripture. There's righteousness and there's lawlessness. This road is the path of righteousness, the path of purity, the path of holiness, the path of absolute morality. That's this narrow road. Can I say something here, friend? Never think that you can accept Jesus Christ and do your own thing. Amen. Hear me on this. Well, I can accept Christ and now I can go out and sin. If that's what you believe, I have a question for you. Rich, which road are you on? You're not on the narrow road. Because when you accept Christ, we accept Christ. We're not perfect. We all mess up. We all sin. But our heart is to do the will of God. We have repented from going our way. We've turned to go God's way. That is the narrow way. Now, how can I can hear someone saying here, yeah, I know, it's a narrow way, Pastor. Once you accept Christ, there's no more fun in life. You got to be straight-laced, sober, and sad. I know, it's just so narrow. And you know what? Satan will come and tell you that. How do I know? Because he came and told me that. Before I was a Christian, I thought if I accepted Christ, it was just going to be, you know, no fun anymore. And I'll tell you what, there couldn't be any further from the truth. Because on the narrow road, there is true happiness on the narrow road. Yeah, there's hard times. This is the way of the cross. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. There are hard times. But I'm going to tell you what, there is joy on the narrow road. And the joy of the Lord gives us strength, leads to strength. And you have strength of the Lord to be your safety. You have the safety of the Lord to be your security. You have the security of the Lord to be your peace. And it's all found on the narrow road. There will be dark nights on this way. But when there is, God gives us songs in the night. It's the narrow way. There were two gates. The narrow gate, the wide gate. There are two ways. There's the broad way. And there's the narrow way. And then there's two sets of travelers. Two sets of travelers. There are the many that are on the Broadway. The many. The crowd is here. There's much company on the broad road. In fact, the vast majority of people in the world are on this road. It's the popular way. And those on the broad road call out to those on the narrow road. And they say, come join us. Come join us. You're missing out. We're having fun, fun, fun. Here you can have popularity. Here you can have prestige. Here you can have all the possessions you want. They're flashing lights here. Don't you see them? This is Tinseltown. Come on over. You're missing out. I'll tell you, Satan's telling that lie to teenagers. You go that Christian way. That's the way of the spikes. Don't go that way. Come on over. missing out. Like the sirens that called to Ulysses and his crew. They call out, and people are dashed in the rocks. But they're calling out, come over. Look at all the people over here. Could we all be wrong? What's the answer? Yes. Yeah, that's right. Just because there's a majority doesn't mean that somebody is wrong. Just like your mom used to tell you, right? If everybody jumps over a cliff, I mean, folks, the majority, there's many on the broad road. Then you have another group of travelers. There are few on the narrow way. Now, this is a comparison, isn't it? Compared to all those on the broad way, there are few, not many here. You know, folks, it can get lonely on the narrow way. There are others. Praise God. Thank God for others. Thank God for your brothers and sisters in the church. Folks, we need each other. But I'll tell you, on the narrow road, it can get lonely. You know what? You may be the only Christian in that office that you go to work every day. You may be the only Christian there. You might be the only Christian in the machine shop. Only one. All the other people around you on the broad road. You might be the only one, even in your neighborhood, that knows the Lord. I tell you, we need each other. I remember when I thought about this, just thought this morning. I remember when I was drafted to go into the military. And I was going to be leaving for basic training in February. And I prayed to God. I asked God for one thing. I said, God, would you do this one thing for me? Would you give me one, at least one person that's a true born-again Christian on fire for you to go through basic training with? Because, Lord, I know I'm going to be with a lot of people that don't know you. Would you give me one person? Isn't God good? We were in cubicles of four in basic training. They put four men in a cubicle. By alphabetical assignment. And I'm SU, and I knew one other guy that was a born-again Christian that loved the Lord. His name was Tom Vick, V-I. He was in the bunk beside me. And we went through basic training. He's the only other Christian that I know of in my platoon of 50 and the company of 200. He was the only one that I knew of that was an on-fire Christian. And boy, we helped each other. I'll tell you, it can get awful lonely out on the narrow road. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to encourage each other. And you know, I'm going to tell you, the people over on the Broadway, they're saying, come on over. Come on over. You're missing out. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be saying, come on over. Come on over. You need to come over here. You need to go through the straight gate. You need to get on the narrow way. Come, come. You know why? Because there's two destinations. There's two destinations. And this is sobering. But the broad way leads to destruction. That's what the King of Kings said. He said it leads to eternal destruction. Destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. The broad way leads to destruction. Listen, listen, because this is in the church today, not annihilation. There are people today, even those who have been in the evangelical camp, John Stott, Clark Pinnock, who say, there's no hell. If you're not saved, you just die and you cease to be. That's Jehovah's Witness theology. That's not Bible.
Amen.
The Bible says eternal destruction. The broad way leads to eternal hell. And I'll tell you, people on the broad, you know what people on the broad word do? They joke about it. I don't want to go to heaven. All my friends are going to be in hell. Ha ha, we're going to have a party down there. Oh, no, you're not. You won't even see your friends because it's outer darkness. You won't even be thinking about that because it is eternal burning. It is total regret. It is where worm dieth not and fires are not quenched. There's one thing in hell. There's no jokes in hell. There's no jokes in hell. And the broad way leads to eternal destruction, leads to hell. The wide gate, the broad road leads to eternity in hell, away from the presence of God and the glory of his power. Now, you're not going to hear that again in a lot of churches today, but it's the truth. But the narrow way leads to life. Jesus said that it leads to abundant life. I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. That's here now. That starts right now. We have abundant life, a full life, a meaningful life, a purposeful life, a life with a future and a hope in Jesus Christ. It leads to eternal life. Eternal life, which according to Jesus in John 17:3 is a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. This is eternal life, that you may know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And when you accept Christ into your life, you begin a relationship with God that will last throughout the ages. Eternally. It is abundant life. It leads to eternal life. It leads to heavenly life. Because when you're on this road, the end of this road is heaven. The new heavens, the new earth. It's where God is, where his presence is manifested to its full degree. That's heaven. Amen. And that's where those on the narrow road are going to end up, in heaven. It leads to life. Now, a picture paints a thousand words, doesn't it? I don't know if you can see that. Could we have the lights off here? See what you can do. That's good. You see that? It's the picture that's hanging in the back of our church. Because this picture shows two roads. It shows the broad road. Look at the neon lights. You can't see too well here, but there's a bunch of people. There's a multitude on the broad road. And then you have a narrow road. It's the way of the cross. There's just one gate. See right here, there's the gate. The spikes. You got to go through the gate. And the gate is Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's the way. And look here, there's not a lot of people here. Not a lot, not compared to all this. You see, there's one gate, a narrow gate. There is one way that goes across, one way. There's a multitude of people here. There's few that go here. But look at the different destination. The broad road leads to destruction, leads to hell. The narrow road leads to heaven. Now the question comes down to, right? What road are you on? I'm going to just say here, I don't know where you are. I don't know everybody probably that's here today. But I will ask you the question, have you received Christ as your Savior? How do I get on this road? How do I go through this gate? The scripture says, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins. That God raised Him from the dead. He's a living Savior. You have to turn from your way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all going to our own way. We need to repent. We need to turn from our way and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We need to receive Christ. Ask Him into our heart. When we do that, we enter the narrow gate. So I ask you today, have you done that? Now, I think probably a lot of people here today would say, yeah, I've done that, Pastor. But I want to say one other thing, or a couple other things. One is, some people in the church, not saying this church, in the church, want to walk with one foot here and one foot out here. I want to have Jesus, but I want the world too. You can't do that. If you're trying to do that, you need to get on fully on board the narrow way. And God may be speaking to somebody here today saying, you know what? I need to get really both feet on the way. And then too, our job as Christians, if we are here, we need to be crying out to these people over here. Come on, get on the way. We need to maybe be right on here and just, come on. You need to get on the road. We need to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Where are you? Listen, where are you on this picture? Let the Holy Spirit minister that to you. Where are you? Now, the king, Muhammad Ali, says, you can be here. Don't worry about it. You're going to end up here. The King of Kings says, "What? Look at the first words in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate." Who are we going to believe? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for in your sermon, Lord, you had to touch on how to get into the kingdom of heaven. You had to tell us, Lord, it has to be through the narrow gate. We're on the narrow road. But praise God, that narrow road, even though it can get lonely, it leads to life. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning that does not know for sure where they are. Maybe they have not placed faith, total trust in Jesus and the finished work on Calvary. Holy Spirit, would you speak to that heart right now? If you're that person, would you just in your heart right now cry out to God and say, Lord, I want you in my heart. I want to enter right now through that narrow gate. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Come into my heart. Tell him that. And enter that gate. If you're here today and you've been trying to live with one foot or one leg on the narrow way and one foot in the world, God's calling you to get on board. Get totally behind his purposes and his ways. Do that this morning. And all of us, Lord, need to be more concerned about those on the broad road. There's so many that are there, Lord, that need you. Help us to have the compassion to cry out to them, even to talk to them this week, maybe in the office, maybe in our neighborhood. Give us the grace to witness in the boldness and the power through your Holy Spirit to cry out to those on the broad way to get them on the narrow way. Lord, work in our heart. Holy Spirit, minister this to us. I pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.